So I believe with all my heart this morning that God wants to remind us of a particular gift. Through worship, there's a lot of words and a lot of what God was already saying is through the gifts bringing. But there's one particular gift that I think he gives, and I believe he gives to every single person. So it doesn't matter how mature you are, the most mature person in the room, how old are you, the most mature person, who's the oldest here? Like 70-something. Lionel, you're ancient, bro. You must be at least. Lionel, you must be the oldest. So, how old are you? Lionel, we love you, bro. Throw your age out because you're awesome. 79. Is anyone older? Is there anyone older than 79? You are officially the most mature person in the room. And not only that, loving Jesus, preaching up storms at memorial services, serving like a boss. I wish I had his energy at my age, you know what I'm saying? So God wants to give him the same gift as who's the youngest person here? I saw some young, how old is this young man? No, Gerald, we're going to pray for you afterwards, you know what I'm saying? Maybe 2 years old, how old? Three, is anyone younger than 3 years? 9 months, yes, the back there, so beautiful. So God wants to, from the oldest to the youngest, God gives this gift to people. And I believe he wants to give it to every single person. No, regardless of how you see yourself or what you think of yourself. Does it make sense? What do you think the gift is? Does anyone know? Okay, Holy Spirit is, he's the one that gives a gift, but Holy Spirit is good. What gift? I know, there's so many. I thought I'd trick you anyway, is what I'm saying. Because I've very rarely heard anyone ask for this gift. Ooh, some clues. I hear of prophecy. Please give me the gift of prophecy. I hear a lot of, please, I want to have the gift of healing. I want to have the gift of hospitality. It's also quite down the line. I've never really heard anyone ask that, actually, either. Gift of tongues. I hear a lot. Gift of discernment. Leadership. Faith. Life. Comes back to discernment. The gift that God wants to give us this morning is wisdom. It's the gift that changes everything else. So think about this. Without wisdom, this morning, the words that were brought would not make sense. Like there were so many different things from songs to tongue to... Without wisdom and discernment and understanding God's heart, it would have just been chaos. And for some, that might be chaos. Today, it might be like, flop, what is going on? This doesn't feel like... But it wasn't. God said one thing, and he said it really, really well through many people. And so wisdom, I think, is the least asked for gift, but probably the second greatest gift besides salvation itself. So I want to put it up high there. And my concern is that I've rarely ever heard anyone ask, please, God, I want to be wise. And I think... And I believe that the church, I'm talking globally, is in disarray because people are just not wise. And they're desiring everything else, but not wisdom. And on Father's Day, happy Father's Day, God wants to give us wisdom this morning. And so let me define wisdom as this. Wisdom is the quality of discerning what is true, what is ethically right, and what should be done in different situations. So let me just tell you again. So wisdom is the quality of discerning. And so it's to be able to look at something or look at someone or look at a situation, or I prayed for commission and business earlier, looking at this thing and be able to discern what is ethically right, what is true, what is just, and be able to distinguish what isn't and what is God, what isn't God. It's quite a beautiful thing, actually. And I have a friend named Phil, and he administrates pretty much everything in Josh Jen and 412. But every time I sit with him, I leave there going, I want to be like you when I grow up. Because he's just got so much wisdom. And then I'm like, I'm your Jonathan, you my David. Like, you my David, you my like. I leave there and I'm like, my heart is buzzing because I'm sitting with a man who just oozes discernment and godliness and the love of the Lord. And he's, I asked him a question. He's just, the way He just speaks about, just like, it can only be God. And so you'll know when you sit with someone who has knowledge versus you walk away from someone that has wisdom and you're like, geez, there's life there. And there's a lot of people with knowledge because they've read something or they've heard something. But wisdom is something that happens through God working in the individual, and it becomes something supernatural and amazing. You can't fake it, actually. You can't fake wisdom. You can fake knowledge, probably, but you can't fake wisdom. Wisdom is given by God. Does it make... Are you guys with me? You're like, okay, totally different to what you guys are expecting this morning. And so, in other words, wisdom is the skill of living out a personal relationship with God in every situation. Because it says, serve the Lord in every situation. Do everything as you're serving the Lord. So if you're working, are you doing it to serve the Lord? If you are, you're probably walking in wisdom. If you're raising your kids, if you're loving your wife, if you're loving your husband, if you're a good child to your parents, if you're a good brother, sister, a good friend, if your pastors are not living their lives for the glory of the Lord, there's problems. I don't think they are. They're not. They are. They are loving God. Got super confusing there. Yeah, we need wisdom, Lord. You know what I mean? It's like, it's taking what God has called you, because we're all different. Your gift is not my gift. Your calling is not my calling. My calling is not your calling. I have different gifts to you. They're all equally important, because God's given grace to each one according to his own glory and purpose and will. So we should be looking different. We should have different gifts. We should have different flavors. But the wisdom is that, Lord, okay, as I find you, how can I live to your glory and to the benefit of the church? That's wisdom. It's a beautiful thing. It's living the presence of God on earth, basically. And it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter how young you are, you can have that. See, knowledge, on the other hand, is information gained through experience or reasoning or acquaintances. Knowledge can exist without wisdom. But wisdom cannot exist without knowledge. No, hold on. I said the same thing there. Hold on, let me just read it. So, knowledge can exist without wisdom, but not the other way around. Wisdom is a whole different thing. And this week, my parents are down from Durban, and my dad helped me put an aftaki between, like, outside my kitchen. And if I had wisdom on how to build things and put a roof up, I would not have gotten to build it 17 times a day. Yes, yeah, so they see me coming, they're right there, they're hiding, because I'm like, I buy stuff and then I get home. It's not the right stuff, go return it. Buy new stuff. So I gained a lot of knowledge this week, because I was on leave, on how to put a roof up, but I didn't have wisdom in it. It's a whole different thing. I can probably do it better next time. But if I was a wise builder, I would know exactly what to buy, when to buy it, how to do it. I'm still trying to put the waterproofing on this week. Hopefully it goes well. We'll soon find out. But wisdom is a whole other thing. It's not gained necessarily through experience. It's not gained through reading stuff. It's something different. It's something. It's a gift of God. That's what I'm trying to say. And he wants you to have it. And the reason why I say it's a gift of God is because God is the source of wisdom. So let's read our first scripture, because you might be going, where's the Bible? It's coming, it's coming. Romans 11, 33 says this. And Paul writes, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. So I don't serve a small God. I don't serve a God that's been made by man. My God is not made of wood. My God is not stone. My God is not a figment of my imagination. The God that I serve is one who is rich in wisdom and knowledge. How unsearchable are your judgments? And how in, what's that word? What does that mean, babes? You can't fathom it. It's like, it's so big my mind explodes when I try to think of who my God is. And his judgments and inscrutable ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him all things, to him be the glory. Amen. Wisdom, the source is God because of who he is. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the glorious one. His name is above every name. We sang it, but do we believe it? Because if we believe it, wisdom will flow from us. Because our hearts will be open to the King of Glory. And if we're spending time with them, and I'm talking quality time. It's not necessarily about the amount of time. It's, is he actually doing something in us so that we reflect him in wisdom? The source isn't from man. It isn't from manuals. It isn't from, it's him and him alone. It's a very beautiful thing. Wisdom is amazing, actually. So why wisdom? Why is it such an important gift? Well, two things, and I've said it, but I'll say it again. It brings glory to God, first of all. When we live wise lives, when we encounter those people that aren't Christians yet, and we treat them as Christ would have treated them, and their hearts are one for his glory and his kingdom, man, there's nothing greater than that. Or if we're in the business place and everyone else is going crazy and doing whatever they're doing, and we hold the line as Christians, and we live wisely, and they see something different about us. I remember when I was in school, my friends that I had, I don't know how I got them, but they were crazy. I'm sure some of them were Satanists or something. They were really hectic guys. And from grade, what's standard 6 to 10? What's that grade? 8 to 12. Grade 8 to 12. They tried everything to make me look at porn, to get me to swear, to stop me from going to youth. They literally, we had sitting break, and they would just bombard me for 3 years. And then one day in grade 10, or grade standard 10, whatever that is, matric. I remember one guy, Trevor, and he was the worst out of all of them. He was like, Brett, we have tried everything to stop you from loving Jesus like you love him. I was like, whoa, where's this coming from? I thought like they're going to attack me or stab me or something. It was a bit of a rough school. And they said, but you're not Bible bashing us, but you're not doing what we're doing. Can we come to youth with you? And one by one, those folks started coming and getting saved. And many years after school, they'd still phone me, go, man, like I just need, and see, again, it wasn't, if I look back, it was, I was just trying to love Jesus. I didn't know what I was doing. It wasn't my own ability. It was just, I knew what was right. I knew what was true, and I was trying to stay the course. God got glorified. People got saved. They stopped bullying me eventually. Became my greatest friends. Your life. Put your name in. If I can do it, anyone can do it. Because it's not my ability, it's his ability through me. Does it make sense? You guys are very quiet all of a sudden. Okay. So, brings glory to God. Second thing is it blesses you. Okay, let's read Proverbs 3 verses 13. You are honored today, young lady. Well done. You're doing a great job there. Blessed, listen to this. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. You know what blessing is? God's favor on you. That's what blessing is. Let's put the whole money thing out of the window because he can bless financially. Probably most of us here are blessed financially anyways. But more than just finance and that whole prosperity thing that's going on in the world ever, he blesses us with health, spiritual gifts, love for one another, love for him. Man, the fact that families are still together in this day and age is awesome. There's so many other things that God blesses us with. Health is my number one. Without health, you have nothing really. So when it says blessed is the one, man, think about your life. We are a blessed people. And more than that, we will have eternity with the Lord of lords and King of kings, not to burn in a lake of fire, but to have eternal life with him, where there is no more sin, no more tear, no more pain, no more sickness, just beautiful eternity in the fullness of the presence of Jesus. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and understanding in him. Like money added on at the end. Okay, like, but thing is like, and gets understanding. For the gain of her, speaking about wisdom, is better than the gain of silver, and her profit is better than gold. So in that day, silver and gold were the most valuable things on earth. And when Solomon wrote this, the wisest man who actually ever lived except for Jesus, he was going, if you look, I have everything. And he did. He had everything. Wisdom and understanding of my God is more valuable than all of that. Yo. And he wants to give that to me? Awesome. Amen. So, Kev. So let's look at Solomon quickly. The wisest man who ever lived besides Jesus. I want to make that very clear. Otherwise, someone's going to moan at me afterwards. 1 Kings 2. Sorry, I got lots of scripture, but I wanted to ground in scripture today. And I don't want to go too, why is it going so fast? Ready, 50 minutes. Okay. So, David to Solomon. Just want to show you something quickly. When David's time to die drew near, he commanded Solomon, his son, saying, I'm about to go all the way of the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man. So these are David's last words to Solomon. Solomon jumped the line to become king. He wasn't supposed to be. So there's some things happening there. And he calls Solomon and he says, be a man. And this morning I want to say to you, if you're a man here, be a man. And if you're a woman here, I know it doesn't say woman, but let's be a woman. Okay? In this way. This is how you be a man, and this is how you be a woman. This is how you live wisdom. Keep the charge of the Lord your God. Walk in his ways. Keep his statutes and his commandments and his rules and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and whatever you turn. And so if we want to be real men and real women that actually bring change on this earth through Christ Jesus, it's to follow him and know the wisdom to do that well. Yeah, that is the greatest privilege on the earth. Come on. Like, I'm excited. I don't know, like, one other guy excited. So Solomon freaks out. He doesn't ask for wisdom because he was wise. He freaks out. He's like, my dad has just told me to be a man. I'm taking the kingship from him. It shouldn't actually be mine. It should be my brother. And if you read Kings, he gets a bit upset and things go pear-shaped a little bit. But listen to the next 1 Kings. 1 Kings 3:7-9. It says here, and now the Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father. Listen to this. Although I am but a little child. So Solomon's going, flap, I am just a little child, and now I'm king. Think about your own life, in business or in your home. Man, I've learned so much. I've been married like 19, 18, something like that, years. I can't remember now. 2006, whatever that means. Long time. Long time, but it feels very short, babes. I'm only now beginning, I'm like, why did I not see how to be a better husband then, God? Why did I have to go through all this pain to kind of figure out, like, if we have the perspective of, man, I'm just a little child, and I think one of the words that come through, rather than look at me, I'm so cool, I'm the best thing, like, he was like, I'm just a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, the great people, too many to be numbered and counted. And so you see, Solomon is like, I don't know if I can do this thing. And maybe you in your life are like, I don't know how to do this Jesus thing. I don't know how I'm going to get through the next week. I don't know how to be a leader in the church. I don't know how, I want to become a leader in the church. I don't know how. You know how? Become a little child. Don't think too highly of yourself. That's wisdom. And look, God, you be God, and wherever you go, I will go. Whatever you do, I will do. Whatever you say, I will say. What you hate, I hate. What you love, I love. And so God grants him wisdom and discernment and understanding to the point that he becomes the wisest man on the face of the planet Earth at that time. The kings and queens and wise men and prophets came from all over the place to sit in his presence. That's what God wants for each and every one of us this morning. Because it brings him glory. It brings the people glory. It brings us church glory. But we need to be careful. There's no use having all the wisdom of the world, but you don't apply it to your own life. Because Solomon ended really badly. 1 Kings 11, 9 to 10. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. And God commanded him concerning these things that you should not go after other gods. But he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. And so he was the wisest man who ever lived. Yet he allowed his wives and the things of the world to slowly but surely, and this is how wisdom is lost, very slowly, very subtly, over a long period of time. And you get to the place and you're like, oh, cook. How did I get here? He started off amazing. He loved the Lord and God just was so pleased with him. And he didn't take his own wisdom for himself. And he gave it and 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 gave it. And maybe what happened was his heart got bigger and bigger and his pride grew and grew and grew and grew. Boom. So there is a danger. And he lost the blessing. And God was angry with him. You don't want God to be angry with you. Almost finished. Didn't wait too long. Two types of wisdom from James 3, 13 to 17. First is in verse 15, counterfeit wisdom. Counterfeit wisdom is worldly wisdom. Counterfeit wisdom is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic, actually, James says. And it's rooted in pride and self. So go read the scripture. I'm running out of time, so I don't want to. But it's ungodly wisdom is all about you. If you're sitting here going, why am I elder not looking after me? That is pride. Get over yourself. Yeah, that came out a bit harsh. Like, we love you. But you know what I'm saying? If it's like, why is that guy preaching and he's got a beanie on and shouldn't be wearing a beanie in the church and blah, 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 there's probably pride in you. The problem with pride is as soon as you go, you're proud. No, I'm not proud. You know, like, it's that kind of thing that you just like you poke it, blah. You're like, okay, that is pride. You know, like, just get over yourself. You know? And so, like, that's it. We laugh because we've been there. But pride and self is, it's all about self. It's all about, oh, how can you tell me what I'm doing? No, you probably got pride, and that's not a good thing. And pride does not do well with wisdom. It actually counteracts it. And so there are two. So you might be thinking you're wise, and wisdom isn't an age thing either, necessarily. I've met very old people that are very unwise because they don't have Jesus in their lives. Or they think they have Jesus in their lives, but they just don't have Jesus in their lives. And I've met very young people that I'm like sitting there going, what the heck is going on here? This is awesome. It's like you can see Jesus in them, you know? Is that the other church? I'm going to go moan at them for making a noise, you know what I mean? It's like their flags and all those young people out there trying to get us to go there this morning, savages. Anyways. So where was I? Totally. Pride. That's the earthy wisdom. And I suspect that a lot of us are actually walking in earthly wisdom most of the time because of self and pride. And we think it's godly wisdom, and it's not. Because godly wisdom is from above, James says. And it's pure, peaceful, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy. Listen to this. And good fruits. Good wisdom, godly wisdom, bears fruit that people can see. Like Phil, when I sit with Phil, but the fruit is beautiful. We just want to eat the fruit all the time. There's fruit there. Impartial and sincere. So, you might be going, okay, I want this thing. I want it. That's good. It's a good start. What does it look like for the church? Very quickly, Ephesians 3 verses 10 to 12 says this, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God has been made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, do you have that? Were you able to get that other tapestry thing on? Can you put that? So, okay, it's not very good quality, but that we all deal with it. So, this is a tapestry that's in the Vatican. And the phrase manifold wisdom of God isn't like separate words in the original language. It's one phrase. And what it means is this, that when you're up close to tapestry and you're looking, tapestries have little, like, because they're using cotton and whatever they use. When you're up close, all you can see, I can just see red, I can see a bit of yellow, I can see a bit of blue, and like, it doesn't really make sense to me. But when you take a stand back, tapestries aren't supposed to be meant to be looked like right up your nose. They're supposed to be looked from a distance and look and go, man, that is beautiful. That's Jesus being raised from the dead and bringing life to everything. The manifold wisdom of God is that you and I and His church are the threads, the different colors, the different languages, the way we look, the way we speak, the different flavors. And we shouldn't actually get on well with each other, but we do because of and the wisdom that He's given us, right? And so I'm just one color. You just one color. Dylan's just one color. And as we look and as we stand back, we go, oh my goodness. The manifold wisdom of God is this, that His plan to send Jesus Christ to die and to be raised again so that we could become His church, the manifold wisdom of God has been made known to the principalities. So the angels are going, yeah! And the demons are going, oh, cook, we're in trouble. But it was divine wisdom. Thank you for laughing, Trace. That was amazing. It's divine wisdom. It's not just a thing that He thought up. It was always supposed to be like that. That's so cool, eh? So wisdom, when it comes to the church, is to be able to see the big picture in focus, each part in its proper relationship with the rest. So your part, you might feel like, I feel like I'm like the pinky toe on the left foot. Because I don't know why on the left foot, but when you take a stand back and Ants and all of us, and like, whew. But wisdom is, I know my part. I'm playing my part. I don't worry about everyone else's part. They must play their part. My focus is right now, right here. God, if you change it, that's wisdom. That's living wisdom. That's courageous living, because it's flippin' scary sometimes to live for Jesus. If you want to look at what wisdom really looks like in your everyday life, go read Matthew 5-7, the Beatitudes. And if you're sucking with your prayer life, or you're battling, let's use a better word, if you're battling with your prayer life, something that's changed my life over the last while is, I've started to pray through Scripture. Man, it's beautiful. And so, like, even if it takes you 6 months, just go Matthew 5-7, just take one verse at a time, pray through it. I'm telling you now, you're walking in more wisdom than you've ever walked in, because Jesus is teaching the way of life. It's beautiful. So I'm just going to throw that as a freebie. Let's come down to land. So how do we get this wisdom? Obviously, it's a gift of God, but how do we get the gift from God? First thing is 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23, 24. It's acknowledging that Jesus is Jesus. Paul writes, we preach Christ crucified. And it doesn't matter who you are, Jew or Gentile and stuff. It says there, for Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And so if you want to start walking in wisdom, you actually need to acknowledge Christ for being Christ. And what that means is, Christ, you Christ, I'm not. Your ways are not my ways, but I'm going to go your way. That's what that's meaning. There's a lot of hogwash that preachers are preaching on YouTube and all over the place. And it's not about Jesus. It's about them. It's about something else. I don't know what it is. It's rubbish. But if we're really acknowledging Christ crucified, we will live like Christ crucified. So that's the first step. Acknowledge Jesus in your life. Second thing is become a fool. What? Become a fool. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that you're wise in this age, let him become a fool that you may become wise. And so the first thing is acknowledge Christ for being Christ. The second thing is don't think too highly of yourself. I've already said this, but I'm going to say it again. If you think you're wise, you're probably not wise. And you actually need to become a fool. I need to decrease. He needs to increase. We need to look foolish to the world. People look at you and go, you are a psycho. Yes, I'm psycho for Jesus. and you want to rob and whatever, and I'm going to give my money away because that's what Jesus said. I'm going to spend my life. I'm going to go on trips. I'm going to just do what I'm going to do. Whatever the world is doing, I'm going to do opposite. That's what becoming a fool to the world means. That's the most scary thing for people. So acknowledge Jesus, become a fool for him, and foolish to the world. Remember, the gospel is offensive. It is, because it's the gospel, and it's, Jesus is awesome. So how do we do this? We fear God. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, how do we fear the Lord? Well, the Lord is holy, and we sang that earlier. You know what holiness means? That he is absolutely unable to sin in any way. Yet at the same time, he doesn't need anything to make himself awesome. He is awesome. He is self-sustained. So God cannot sin. He cannot. All his ways are righteous and true. And he doesn't actually need us. He is self-sufficient. Then he says, be holy as I'm holy. So what that means for us is, we need to be absolutely free of sin. Our sufficiency should be in him and him alone. But then there's one more thing that he adds on to us being holy, is he sets us apart for something awesome. And that's been part of the manifold wisdom of God. Ephesians 3:10. Hey, how cool is that, eh? And so to fear him is to go, I'm going to become holy as you are holy. J.I. Packer sums this up quite nicely. He says, not until we have become humble and teachable, standing in awe of God's holiness and sovereignty, acknowledge our own limitations and thoughts, and willing to have our minds turned upside down, can divine wisdom be ours. It's beautiful. So, practical way of working in the wisdom of God is fear him. Second is desire wisdom. Proverbs 2, 4 to 5, desire it. Do you desire to be wise like God is? Does it eat you up? Like, man, I want, in this situation, God, I'm going to meet with this client. In this situation, God, I want your name to be glorified. Or with my wife, or husband, or children, I want to honor you. I want the fruit of what you've done in my life to come through. Desire. We desire burgers and we desire sports and we desire to look good and smell nice. There's a lot of stuff we desire, but do we desire wisdom? Oh. Third, ask. James 1 verses 5 to 6. It's simple. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously. Just ask the Lord. Please, I need wisdom. But if Karen reading that, I'm just trying to skip on time, yeah. It says, but do it in faith. Don't doubt. Desire him. Nice. Someone's listening. Ask. Simple things we can all do. It doesn't matter. Second to last. Walk with wise people. Proverbs 13:20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes. Remember Psalm 1? Do not walk with sinners, stand with sinners, sit with sinners. It's the same principle, just turned upside down. If you want to be wise, walk with wise people. I am very particular on who my friends are. Very particular who my friends are. Because I know that if I have bad friends, I'm not going to get good things from them. Same with wisdom. Godly people in our lives. And then lastly, study God's word. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 10. You're on it like Donkey Kong, and I've gone way too long. Let me just say this one thing. I'm noticing that the law of God has got a really, really bad rep lately, where you become a bigot or the law is now gone. Jesus never came to abolish the law. The word actually says, I came to fulfill the law. He actually says not one even dot of the law will fall to the ground until everything has been accomplished. The law of God has had a bad rep the last couple of years. Actually, the last 15 years or so. The law of the Lord is awesome, actually. The commands of God are awesome. Why I say this is, there's five different words for the law of the Lord used in the scripture. The first is obviously law. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. It's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. The law of God revives the soul. The testimony of God, which is another word used for the law of the Lord, is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts, which is another word that they use for the law of the Lord, are right, rejoicing in the heart. If you want to live in joy, let the commandments of God be in your heart. The law of God. The commandments of the Lord, which is obviously another word for law, are pure, enlightening the eyes. See, the law of the Lord is not a bad thing. We've made it a bad thing because we don't want to look at sin as sin anymore. Not us, but you know, I'm talking generally. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. See, the fear of the Lord endures forever. The rules of the Lord, which is another word used for the law, are true and the righteous altogether. Listen to this. More to be desired than gold. You see the patterns that are coming up here? Or much refined gold, sweeter than honey dripping from the honeycomb, is the law of God. If you want to live a wise life, you've got to do it through the Word of God. And I'm going to end with this quote. Dwelling in God's Word produces a heart of worship and thanksgiving. So the more we spend in God's Word, the more our hearts worship and thanksgiving. The heart of worship and thanksgiving become fertile soil for the seed of wisdom to grow. Amen. Let's finish there. So I do believe with all my heart, I don't have a feeling, I have a belief that wisdom is for everyone. And we should be asking for it more. And so, kid, I pray for us this morning. And again, it's from God. I wish I could give you wisdom. I wish I could give myself wisdom, but I can't. Only God can give us wisdom. And it doesn't matter where you're serving or where you are or how far you find yourself from the Lord or how close you find. I'd really love to pray that the Holy Spirit, who is the one who can give this, will do that for whoever wants it. Amen? So, if you want wisdom, stand with me. And let's just pray and trust God to you. Could I ask you to do something strange with me? I received a Father's Day gift this morning. Well, actually, last night late because I couldn't sleep. So I secretively, after 12 o'clock, went and got it because I was so excited. And I realized if I try to pick up my gift with a closed fist, I would still be trying to pick it up. So I took it. And so even as a spiritual sign of opening our hearts and hands, just raise our hands to the Lord. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for this amazing congregation. Thank you. It is such a privilege for us to be here this morning. Thank you for Ants and the team just doing such an amazing job here. I can sense your presence here, Father. I can sense a hunger for your kingdom to build church your way. I feel love, joy, excitement. I really feel that you're doing something here, Lord. But Lord, we stand before you for this gift, wisdom, that your word speaks about. And we want to ask you this morning that you'll be gracious to us, God. That you will impart a fresh wisdom upon our hearts and minds today. That we'll have joy in seeking out wisdom. Joy in fearing you. Joy in living like you want us to live, God. And so we want to ask your Holy Spirit right now to come and have your way. And so I can't ask for you. You have to ask for you. And so wherever you stood, in the words that you want to use, spend some time with the Lord right now. And ask Him. Ask Him for wisdom. Stand in the scriptures we've already looked at this morning. And we're going to trust the Holy Spirit will shift something in each and every one of our spirits this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amazing, Lord. We want to be people who discern well, who represent you well, God. Love you, Lord. Love what you're doing, Lord. We want to be content in the grace that you've given us, God. We want to have wisdom just to look at the big picture, God, and go, thank you, Lord, for putting me there. And we'll be quick to give you praise, God.